Hello, everyone, and welcome into Debate Night. I'm Hunter, joined as always by Silas in the studio, Brody on the road yet again, coming from your car again, it looks like.
You know, it's been the West Coast, man. It's after this week, we're still here one more week. And then after this, we'll be in Central Time, and I'll like actually be done with practice and stuff. Because I still have to putt tonight.
Jeez. All right, well, this will probably be a quick episode, so we can get you back to putting. So we gotta walk through a few different things before we go to the chat for some topics tonight. There wasn't a lot that went on in the disc golf world, so we're gonna rely on the chat some tonight for some topics. But first, let's go back a week. Last week, had your off week, spent your time in Dallas. We obviously talked to you a little bit, but then you ended up going to a golf tournament and got interviewed on the was it the first day live coverage of the PGA Tour?
We went there on Saturday, so it's third round.
Nice.
But yeah, essentially how the PGA has it set up. Imagine if, I'll explain in like disc golf terms, so hopefully it makes sense. So you have the normal broadcast. So what we see right now in disc golf, that broadcast is on like CBS, right? Or NBC or whoever. But then you have like the Disc Golf Network has other streams as well.
Yeah.
Where you can go and you can see essentially Jomez, like when they're filming, whoever they're filming, you can watch their car live every shot.
Okay.
They don't cut away. There's very few commercials. So you can like hear players talk in between. So or you could do like, they also have options of doing like certain holes. So like maybe, you know, USDGC, for example, they would have it on like hole 6 and like hole 17.
Yeah.
So like if you just really want to see people go and play that hole, you literally can go to a stream and see that. So that's what I was on. I wasn't on like the main broadcast that was, you know, for everyone. I was on the featured one. So anyone that was watching, basically, I think it was Fowler and someone else in the morning, and they ended up being Spieth and who the heck did Spieth play with? Wow, I'm blanking. But whoever he played with, it was them. So like, yeah, it wasn't like out to a mass amount of people, but my guess is, 20, 30, 40, 50,000 probably in that realm.
Nice. And obviously that got some, rather funny responses on Twitter. I think we're going to end up making a t-shirt out of one of them, I think, when it's all said and done.
We have to make a t-shirt. It was it's one of those where, you know, sometimes when you get outside the disc golf world, you get some funny responses from people. So, but I was talking about this earlier with someone. I need to get my key. where like, sometimes when you're just like really, can you guys hear me all right?
Yeah, we can hear you.
All right, I'm gonna bounce inside here in a second, so bear with me. But sometimes when you're like, when you're really like locked in and all you really like, all the people you follow are disc golf and everything on your timeline's disc golf, like you sometimes can kind of get into like this idea that like it's massive.
Yeah.
And then as soon as like you kind of take a step back and step away from it, it's in everything too, like golf, basketball. It can literally be in everything, of where you just think everyone cares about everything because that's all you see. So I think sometimes that happens with, you know, with me also, is like, you know, you just like assume everyone knows kind of what disc golf is or has an idea of what it is, and you kind of forget that there still is a huge population out there that probably is still so unfamiliar with what disc golf is.
Yeah, like they still haven't even heard about it, or if they have, they just like know it is that thing at the park that they see the baskets of or something.
Yeah, they don't even realize that there's a professional league and that it's gotten, you know, serious.
Yeah, I was talking to someone, I remember where it was, but I might have been at church on Sunday. Someone walked up though and asked me, they're like, hey, so how's your frisbee golf business going? I was like, oh, it's going good. It's going good. And then they asked, Silas was standing next to me, and they're like, yeah, is he your right-hand man? I was like, yeah, he does a lot for us. And you're like, oh, so what's he do? What's he do? I was like, well, you know, he produces podcasts for us. He edits some videos. You know, he works in the retail shop, all of this stuff. And I mean, the dude just looked at me like, he's like, so what do you do a podcast for? He's like, just like talk about your discs in the shop. And I was like, well, no, we got like one that's focused solely on like current news and events of the pro scene. We got one that like we kind of just talk back and forth kind of on what's going on with one of the current players out there. And then we have one, and like, I went through like what all our podcasts do. And I mean, you would have thought I was speaking.
We have multiple podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, you would have thought I was speaking a foreign language. This guy was just looking at me like, there's a pro league, and not only is there a pro league, you're trying to talk about that once a week. And like, I mean, he was trying to be nice about it, but I could tell all over his face that he was just like, what is this kid talking about? And I was like, look,
that's going to be.
It's all right.
I think that's going to be a huge, like, whenever this time comes, I don't know if we're very close to it at all right now, but when it does happen, I think it's definitely going to kind of spike disc golf, is when we have these kind of like outside disc golf journalists talking about disc golf, right? Like outside media,
yeah,
that cover sports. When they start covering disc golf as well, I think that's going to help out a lot. Who knows when that will happen or if it will ever happen. But right now, the only people really talking about disc golf or paying attention to disc golf are like the diehards, right? Yeah. The people that are really into it. So
I could definitely see it become something that, like, because disc golf happens at a time where like some of the bigger events are happening, when pretty much the only thing on TV is baseball, more or less.
Well, when the finals is over, when the NBA finals are over in a couple weeks, right? It's baseball's it.
That's what I'm saying. Right? Like, so there's baseball and there's golf, and so like SportsCenter and stuff gets real dry
year round.
Yeah,
golf's pretty much year round.
Yeah, so SportsCenter gets real dry, and so I could definitely see it becoming not like a regular segment on SportsCenter or anything like that, but something where more of the quote unquote bigger moments are covered. Like, we've seen them do like the 18 under feature. We've seen them talk a little bit longer than, you know, a typical just highlight on like the James Conrad shot. I could see stuff like that, like slowly working its way in a little bit more. And I can definitely see blogs like start to pick up and write a disc golf article or two, like Sports Illustrated already has. I could definitely see like Yahoo Sports, stuff like that, because it's gonna get clicks, especially when they do it the first time. And the disc golf world right now still just isn't used to being mainstream. So like, if something mainstream picks up disc golf, it gets shared like crazy. So if they write anything right now, it kind of has a false engagement to a certain extent, where they write it and it's like, oh wow, there's a lot more demand for this than we thought, because random people see it and are like, what the heck's this? Disc golfers see it and like show everyone they know. So I could definitely see it become something that becomes semi-regular in the next few years, but we're a long ways off from SportsCenter just regularly covering the Pro Tour finishes or anything like that. But it would definitely be interesting. I definitely think what's going to be interesting about that more than anything is the way the sport will be covered. Because like right now, it's covered in a very like friendly light. And anytime you step out of that in any way, you get like immediate pushback like within the sport. And that's not how sports are typically covered. They're covered in a somewhat friendly light, but like journalists are real.
Yeah.
So like,
you got like, if something negative is happening, you gotta,
yeah,
you got it. And yeah, no, I agree. I won't say anything else to that.
No, but I think that'll be fascinating, is if there is like a whole story done on disc golf and it's like not the most positive thing in the world, like how on earth is disc golf world going to react? But all right, let's jump forward a little bit. You're now in Portland prepping for the Portland Open. I'm assuming you've played both courses now. Tournament starts in 2 days. Have you had a chance to check out both the courses you're gonna be playing?
Yeah, so I did one round at Blue Lake Monday. What is today? Tuesday? No, today's when?
Today's Tuesday.
I did one round at Blue Lake on Sunday, one round at Blue Lake on Monday, and then two rounds today at Glendevere. They just opened it to us today.
Nice.
So I've seen both courses, and I'm going to tomorrow, I'll probably get one round at each course tomorrow.
Okay. Has Blue Lake changed much since, like, from, I know you just watched coverage, you didn't get to play it previously, but from what you saw, is there
literally
any changes?
The same exact course in 2019.
Okay. Nice. What about the golf course?
Completely new course.
Oh,
it's on
wow.
the other side of the property.
So the golf course is no a full redesign, and then Blue Lake, they just brought it back.
Golf, yeah. Blue Lake, we can go into that if we want to, or if we want to do a day law situation. I think people are less tied to Blue Lake than they are to day law.
Oh, absolutely.
So I might be more open to talking about it before the tournament than I was at day law. Dustin Keegan was the designer at the Glendevere Golf Club, and it is a tough course.
Yeah,
it's a tough course.
Is it a good tough, like a fair tough?
There are only a handful of holes where you're kind of like, there's not really a line here, because we are playing. Similar to like the OTB style, where we're playing down rough,
yeah.
or we're playing like across fairways. We're doing that a lot more than like down holes. But there are some holes where we're just kind of like, I don't really see a line. We're kind of like, you know, you're kind of just throwing it and hoping it gets through some trees. But that's only a handful of holes. There are some extremely fun holes on this course, and I mean fun in the sense of like, beautiful, like, elevation changes, but also challenging. Mm-hmm. I think that might be the big difference between Blue Lake and, well, it's night and day. Like, we might see someone shoot 17 under at Blue Lake.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I don't know if we'll see anyone break 11 under at Glendevere.
Well, what do you think of a tournament like that, where you have one course that's super scoreable and one course that's not? Do you like having that contrast?
Why are we playing Blue Lake is what I say.
So why even have the one that you're shooting 15, 16 under?
Yeah, like, why don't we just play Glendevere? Like, Glendevere is such a better challenge. Mm-hmm. Like, such a better... it's just not boring.
Yeah. Is
Blue Lake... Blue Lake is beautiful, and here for all the people that love Blue Lake, Blue Lake's a beautiful course. I think it's going to actually show really well on camera.
Nice.
Because I love the white stakes. I love the tall grass OB. You can definitely see like how the holes are shaped. It is a disc golf course. Like, there aren't trails out there. People aren't walking their dogs. It's a disc golf course, which I love. But like, as far as difficulty goes, there are some holes that are extremely difficult to birdie, but I think a lot of the holes you're going to see like two or three or four or four or five.
I got
like,
you.
You're not going to see that much separation there.
It's not a lot of chances to like really blow up on the same hole as someone birdies.
Yeah. I'm not even saying that's a blow up, but like, there are some holes that legitimately might be impossible to bogey.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's just no separation there.
Like, you would have to do something absolutely insane.
Get me out there. I'll find a way.
I don't think that would be an interesting video. I think there's a couple holes where it's like, I think if you and Trevor played it 10 times, I don't think you guys would ever bogey it.
All right. That's the type of golf I like. So I think I'd have a good time out there.
There's literally one hole where you just throw like a 300-foot hyzer into a huge open spot, and then you have a 200-foot whatever you like wide open shot, whatever you want to do.
That's a par four.
Par four.
Oh wow! So basically, the majority of the field should just birdie that every time.
Like it's yeah, and then there's like a 275-foot hyzer, wide open.
But I mean, at least it's better that there are like par fours and stuff, but it's not a true like pitch and putt where you're shooting 16 under and it's just all drives.
I wish we played the back nine twice. the back nine has some really, really challenging holes. It's weird. Like, the front nine, the first, like, two holes are pretty tough. The first hole's extremely tough, especially with the conditions we've had where it's been really, really wet. Like, no one was getting close because it's a roller hole. No one was getting the disc close because of just how wet the grass was. But, yeah, I you know, talking with a lot of the players, too, it's like, would this be – like, if I lived in the area and, like, you hit me up and were like, hey, you want to go play Blue Lake today? I'd be like, heck, yeah. It's a fun course to, like, just go out with your buddies and play. But when it comes to, like, tour-level courses, I think – I feel like I'm in the majority when I say, like, we like being challenged of where you feel – like, you earn your birdies. You have to try to figure out when you throw a bad shot, how to save par. Like, I like feeling that. And a lot of times on Blue Lake, you'll get to a hole and you just are kind of like, all right, let me just throw this wide open hyzer again with, you know, I don't know. Who knows? We'll see. I think the scoring there is going to be night and day scoring there versus the other course.
What's the schedule? Of course, do you go Blue Lake, or is
Blue Lake,
it rotating?
Blue Lake.
Do you like doing that, or would you prefer it go in general? Do you like going back to back, same course, back to back, other course, or would you rather it be like alternate?
From a playing style, because I'm wondering how much of that is like the disc golf pro tour assets wise, right? Like, they set up a course and they have to move it, have that go 2 days in a row and then move everything. And then I'm wondering how much that is from a playing style, a viewing style. I think it probably makes more sense doing every other course. Right.
Yeah.
I wish it could have been like something kind of like how Vegas does it, where it's like we do Blue Lake, Glendevere, cut, Glendevere, Glendevere.
There is a cut this tournament, correct?
I don't know. How do you even know that?
That's what I was trying to look it up. I could have sworn I saw.
Where is that information?
I could be wrong. I thought I saw it somewhere. I'm trying to find it. It would have been. I thought I saw there was a cut after round three.
But, like, you seeing that from a tweet? Like, where does – I don't even know – as a player, I don't even know where I would find that.
I could not tell you where I saw it.
Like, is there a consistent place? Like, is there a consistent place
typically,
where they –
typically, it would be on, like, the event page. But the event page seems like this year there's not really, like, a website. It might be in the – is it in the caddy book? No, the caddy book's just the T-signs.
No, caddy book's just straight.
Just straight up straight T-signs. Okay, I could be wrong. It's going to drive me crazy now because now I'm on air trying to think of this, but I swear
I'm
going
to drive Silas crazy by going sideways right now to try to sign into the Wi-Fi.
Oh, boy.
Bear with me, Silas. Hold on. I'm coming back. Hold on.
All right, man.
Man, I don't... Sign into the... Gosh, where did I see this?
You know how they could solve this problem of, like, knowing if there's a cut or not?
Always have a cut.
Wow, dude, you read my mind.
Always have a cut. All right, well, maybe there's not. Maybe there's not a cut.
I will ask in the group right now, and I'll see if I can get an answer by the end of this podcast for you.
Okay.
Since you are locked in.
It's not super important. I swear it was in.
I swear it was in this
Portland Open update.
Super, super important. All caps.
I could have sworn it was in this tournament update, but this tournament update says something different every time I look at it. It keeps getting changed. Oh, well.
Jeff Spring, most important question ever from Hunter.
Don't put from Hunter. I'm not.
Please
in that group.
Answer this.
Put from Hunter.
I swear.
Please answer this, or Hunter will cancel his subscription to the Disc Golf Network.
Silas, does anyone in the chat know? Is anyone in the chat saying there's definitely a cut?
Are you trying to say
no.
Jeff Springs in the
no
chat?
No one's saying that.
No one's saying yes or no to cuts. No. All right. Well, we'll find out. We'll find out if there's a cut.
The disc golf scene says there is a cut.
The disc golf scene themselves are in there?
No, Jesse Shepard.
Oh, it's on the disc golf scene.
Yeah.
Am I deleting this now?
I would delete that. Delete that.
It's a 40% MPO and 50% FPO.
After what round?
I don't know.
I'll find it for you, Brody. I can search now.
I just deleted it. I feel like
after the second round. That's
no.
I'm just kidding.
No, it had to be after the third. That's what I was curious of, because like, is that why Portland Open? Yeah, here you go. Round three, Glendaveer cut to 40% MPO, 50% FPO. Round four.
I was just saying, there's no way they don't let people play both courses.
Yeah, like, I was wondering if that's why it's still, it would be the exact same if they went Blue Lake, Glendaveer, Blue Lake. It is interesting that there's two rounds at Blue Lake where there's the least separation, and then one round for like separation to happen, then a cut. Versus two rounds.
Well, it'll be interesting to see, like, because I think when you look at like separation too, I think we're looking at it the wrong. I might go back on what I talk about. I think we're looking at about the wrong way.
Okay.
Because when I'm looking at like a PGA Tour event now, I realize like they're really like you're really just getting birdie, pars, and bogeys, like the top guys.
Okay.
And so like it does kind of clump up everyone a little bit, right? Like you're not seeing
yes
like,
and
massive
no.
things. But from the bottom, yeah.
Because that's the difference.
I don't know anymore.
The cut line will be at like +4 in a PGA Tour event, whereas the leader will be at however many under.
Well, my brain hurts too much to think about. I don't. Let's talk about something else.
Okay. Well, I think an easy here. I'll say this. I think an easy course can have, or like a low scoring course can have just as much separation, but typically it doesn't. Because if it's a course that's easily scorable, then there's not going to be a lot of separation. But if it's a course that like you can go low, but it's hard to do so, like WR Jackson, you can go low there, but it's very hard to do so. And there's also you can go high there. So like that course, yeah, you can have 10, 12, 14, 16 under as we saw, but you can also have 3, 4, 5 over. So like how far under par you go on a course doesn't really matter separation wise. It's how easy it is to get that far under. Because if it's really easy to get under par and everyone's birdieing, then yeah, you're going to go out there and you might have 15 people all sitting within, they might all shoot within like a stroke of the lead or two strokes of the lead. And you do that like three rounds, and then there's no separation. Then it's just like a jumbled mess. Versus it can still be a jumbled mess, but when it's a jumbled mess and there's a bunch of stroke swings, it's exciting because then you don't have, you know, three up with three to play and it's over.
I know we're all over the map right now.
Oh yeah.
With what we're talking about, but I wanted to throw like a completely different topic in there after thinking about this. I have another reason why I think pairings, not just pace of play reason,
okay,
but why pairings in disc golf will make it more entertaining. Now obviously, again, let me preface for people that don't listen to us every week, I understand the reason why they do it. You know, the reason why we have four people on the card right now is for viewing purposes, right? And some people will be like, oh, it's also because you have to second rules, whatever. That rules can change. That stuff like that can change. I understand. We don't have enough cameras yet. But I still want to just discuss this because I still think people think when we have tons of cameras, they still like the four card, like four people on a card idea.
Yeah.
For the final round. And here's the reason why I think two would be fascinating. Okay. Hole, and we'll use Portland Open as an example. Hole 17, very difficult par 4. You can birdie it, you can par it, or you can take a bogey or a big number. Hole 18 at Portland Open is a par 5. You can eagle it, and you can double bogey it. Both
Now, eagle obviously is probably going to be harder to do than double. Like, I'm gonna probably go out on the limb and say there'll probably be more doubles on that hole than eagles. But the scoring separation on those last two holes matter. And I think also the strategy, because there's so much OB on 18, like 18 strategy, for example, if you're trying to birdie it, you just throw a 500-foot hyzer and then like a 350-foot forehand hyzer and then like a 200-foot upshot, birdie, boom, right? That's how you birdie it. But you can get risky and try to eagle it, but that brings in a potential bogey or double.
Mm.
This is why I think pairings matter, because you could essentially have someone that starts.
Oh, right when it was getting good. He froze up.
Am I back?
Your audio's back. Your video's not. All right, now you're back. You're back. Someone starts in front of you. That's where you're at.
Okay, so you could have someone, like, let's just say, like, the leader is, for easy terms, let's say the leader is at, like, 10 under, and there's a bunch of people at 9, 8, 7, 6, right?
Okay.
So you could have someone at 6 under go out like an hour and a half before the leader because you're in pairings. You're in twos.
Yeah.
And that person could go out and shoot really, really good and have like post a score. And so now the leaders know that score is posted. And now it's going to probably change how they play the last couple holes knowing that. Where right now, a lot of times, like the leaders, like, chase card and lead card, correct me if I'm wrong, the winner has come from chase card or lead card on every tournament.
I mean, that's got to be right. Yeah, not every tournament ever, but this year.
This
yeah.
year. This
I don't
year.
I don't even know if has the winner come from chase card maybe once this year.
Like, I think Simon at DDO was on third or fourth card and got second.
Yeah, he pushed up. Yeah.
I want to say like win. Calvin, maybe Calvin at, I want to say Calvin maybe at one another tournament finished well late. But regardless, I think as these courses get harder and harder, and like you said, like a course like a WR Jackson where you have potential of going super low and you have potential of going over, I think that's so cool to see like people finishing early and actually setting a score.
Yeah.
Because, but that only is going to happen because it's the same way in golf. Like when you're playing an easy course in golf, like you'll have the leader finish and they'll finish like three ahead of whoever's currently in the lead. And the announcers will be like, yeah, they're leading the tournament, but they're not going, like the percentage of them winning is so low.
Yeah.
Because these guys are probably going to birdie six holes coming in. Right.
Yeah.
But on a course like this, like Portland, how I view it, I don't think you're going to see someone go out there and shoot double digits for the next like the two rounds. So I think, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe people don't care, but I think it would be cool to see potentially someone going out that maybe didn't have a good first couple rounds, but has a great final round, post the number. And then, like, people have to chase them down the last, like, six holes.
Yeah, no, it's happened a few times in disc golf, and it's always exciting because then you have that, like, you get to hole, let's say, in disc golf, it typically happens a little later, but, you know, you get to hole, like, 15 in the round or something, and someone's in the clubhouse, or someone set a really hot round, and they did it early, and you're like, oh, yeah, easily going to beat that, but then everyone struggles, and it gets late in the round, but regardless, you get to, like, hole 15, 16, and there's the battle going on within the card, but then even when the player birdies, it's like, yeah, they're through 16, but he's just tied with the lead, even though he's like a stroke clear of his card. So then it brings in like a whole different factor of you're watching this guy and they're battling within their card, but then they're also battling with a set score that, like, if they don't beat it, then this guy's warming back up to come into a playoff. And it adds like a whole other thing.
Yeah, they know they have to shoot four under through the last on the back nine.
Yeah, and like, it just adds a whole different type of pressure because it's like, it doesn't matter if I shoot three under and beat my card, I lose.
Yeah. Should we have some sort of like Mario Kart situation where it's like the leaders have
like a deceleration.
Why?
I mean, golf does have that. Like later in the day, it gets harder to play because you have all the foot traffic around the holes. So like putting gets harder. The greens, obviously they don't cut the greens in the during the day. They cut them in the morning. So as the day goes, the grass gets longer and longer on greens, which makes the putting like change. So it's harder. It's hard. The golf course normally always plays harder for like the leaders in a golf tournament than it does for the people that go off in the morning. So like, is there something there that we can somehow figure out?
You slowly remove chains as the day goes on.
Yes.
The basket gets smaller. You start on like a Mach X and you end on a marksman.
Yeah, exactly.
First guy goes out and shoots at 18 under and then lead groups out and they can barely shoot 5. It's like, what happened?
Or every single time a card goes through, like once you're done throwing on a tee, you just like, there's like a mud bucket and you just get one handful of mud that you can throw on the tee pad and then you go to the next hole.
Yeah, and then we just have everyone getting injured. By the end of the tournament, there's no one to play.
You only do this on the final day. So by the end of the day, the leader's just having to play, throw out of mud. It's the Mario Kart effect.
I mean, no. I'm not even entertaining that. I was going to say that'd be like a fun like tournament, like a like weekly type challenge thing, but no. It wouldn't even be that.
That could be a fun video that you and Trevor just do head to head, like where you do something where each hole as you go through the round somehow gets like progressively harder and harder. And then you get to 18 and it's like nearly impossible. Maybe it's one of those where it's like you have to attach. What if you like attach spoons to your body? After every hole, you have to attach one spoon to your body.
What are you talking about?
What would a spoon do to make disc golf harder?
No, just for you guys. This is like a challenge video, just for you and Trevor.
What? What are you talking about? Attach spoons.
Have you never seen the guy that has the world record for the most spoons on?
You just have to like keep them on? Like you just like sit it on your nose and you have to balance it?
No, you guys aren't world record people. So you can just like, you can use tape and you can just tape it on you.
How does that make disc golf any harder?
You and Trevor don't want, you guys make it harder all the time on your.
No, I'm saying how does taping a spoon to me make it harder?
Oh, I want to see you throw 18 metal spoons on you. I want to see that.
Easy.
And I want you to tell me that's not hard.
We got to put that to the test.
How would that be hard?
18 metal spoons on your chest? Are you telling me? Like all spread out.
Yeah.
You don't stack them. You're going to have a full iron chest of metal spoons. That's going to be hard.
What makes it harder?
They're clanking around the weight, the clank. What? What? Are we having. Okay, fine. After every hole, you have to put a t-shirt on. There.
That's better. See, that makes disc golf harder. I can play with 18 spoons on easy.
I would love to see it.
Okay.
I think a lot of people. Silas, how many people want to see that? I think a lot of people would love to
see it. I want to see it.
But it'd be entertaining. It wouldn't be harder.
18 metal spoons.
Where did you get that from?
18 spoons.
I just thought of the guy. I did a world record show with this guy. So I got to see him firsthand. And I think he balanced. I want to say he balanced 50 spoons on his body.
Yeah, balancing spoons would be hard. Just throwing with 18 metal spoons would be easy.
He's a world record.
Tape them to yourself?
Well, like for this, you would.
He did. Yeah. No.
He balanced.
This guy.
Oh, he's next level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he like does. He does like a little.
And then he sticks to
you. Oh.
Yeah.
Someone said you should keep your bag on the entire round.
Like that would be hard. I think what I'm thinking is 18 holes, you have to par to move on, and it gets progressively harder, and you just see how far you can make it in the course. Like, we make an 18-hole, like, extreme disc golf challenge, and just
you
see.
You have to par to move on? Can't you guys both lose on the first hole?
Yeah, and it's just like a video. Well, we'd have like six people out there. We'd have like six people out there. No, it'd start with hole one is just normal disc golf. And we go to like Peaks View. So like you're going to par.
Oh, but you're adding in
yeah,
stuff each
then, like,
time.
Hole two, you gotta go like putter only. Hole three, you gotta keep your bag on, and it like adds. So then hole four, your putter only, bag on, throwing lefty. That was a pretty aggressive
like a
progression.
There's either a card game or a drinking game like that.
Probably. I mean, I'm sure it exists.
Where like stuff progresses. What if you guys did a weight vest? Would you do that?
A weight vest would be hard, and you add weight.
You add a pound every hole to your weight vest.
Okay, a pound doesn't seem too bad.
So by the end of the round, you basically start with like a five pound weight vest,
and then by the end
of 23 round, yeah, you're at 23 pounds.
I think that's doable.
You can't tell me throwing with a 23 pound weight vest is going to be
no. That would be harder.
I just think the metal spoons like clanking and making noise. I think that's going to get in your head.
I don't think so. We'll find out.
And I can play. I will be playing spoons in the background on my knee.
Heck yeah! See, now that could get in my head. My granddad my mom's granddad played the spoons in a band.
He was nasty. Oh, he's in a band. He's got
yeah.
It nasty.
And then they had like the spoons. They had like a washboard. It was like.
I love that.
Yeah, like an old country band. All right, let's get.
You get the stick that's like, wah.
Yeah. All right, let's get tonight's pointless debate topic of the day. And while I'm doing that, Silas, keep your eyes locked on the chat. Chat, be sure to suggest some topics for us to talk about for the remaining minutes of the show after we get through our pointless debate topic. Pointless debate topic tonight is, would it be terrible or amazing to know what other people are thinking all the time? Would you want to or would you not want to be able to know what people are thinking all the time? It's a tough one.
In my life right now?
Yeah. We'll just go right now.
Or am I being born or if I'm being born with this? Because my answer is different.
We'll go life right now.
I don't care.
So you want to be able to know or you don't?
No, I don't.
Okay, so then you're born with it.
I want to know.
Okay, so why do you want to know when you're born with it? What changed?
Well, I think your career path can like greatly, like you can do things so much faster if you knew what people were thinking.
But would it stop you from doing stuff? Like if you're a kid, you're a high schooler or something, and like you walk into a room and you have all the confidence in the world, but now no one else believes in you. Does it change anything?
Well, first off, I don't care about that. I'm thinking more like career wise. Like I'm going to a poker game, and this guy's like, I'm going to bluff this whole hand. Like I'm playing Ultimate Frisbee, and someone's like, I'm about to roast this guy deep. Like I'm thinking on that side. I still could care less if someone's like, oh, this guy's ugly. What the heck? This guy looks like a joke. That doesn't bother
me. I gotcha. So, he's frozen again.
Right now,
Robot Brody.
My life, I don't think he's knowing other people. My back? I'm getting off
back.
The Wi-Fi.
You're back.
No Wi-Fi. I'm back. No Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi is only good for watching Stranger Things.
There you go.
Yeah, I think where I am right now, I don't want to hear, like, there's, like, yeah, it could maybe help some, but
yeah, I think
it'd be a lot more annoying.
I think even if
I were,
younger
like, life?
Yeah. I think even if I'm born with it, I don't want to know what other people are thinking all the time. I think
well,
there's better,
be
I think there's scenarios,
never,
I think there's just enough scenarios where it's better
it
to not know. You know,
you never cut it off. That would be the problem.
Yeah, you can never turn it off. So I'm just sitting here and
I feel like
I'm just hearing what Silas is thinking right now.
Man.
But
yeah,
I feel like
I would
get
that.
Yeah. I think it'd
I
get
feel
annoying.
Like I'd be I feel like I'd get so rich though for my strategy that then
maybe.
I would just go and buy an island and not be around people.
But then
other
like
than my like family.
How could you like it would change your perspective. It'd be hard to even have friendships or anything. Because then, like, any time your, like, girlfriend or wife or mom or dad, like, thought something, but, like, they, like, you know, wisely didn't let it out of their mouth, and then you heard
it. I know,
it.
But I feel like you've been around me long enough to know that I don't really hold back on what I say. So, and the people I'm around, for the most part, don't really hold back on what I say. So, I don't think it would really mess with my relationships anymore.
That's fair.
If anything, it would end relationships faster that weren't going to go anywhere.
That's a good point. Like, that's a good way to look
at
it.
They were able to kind of, not catfish me, but they were able to kind of, you know.
You'd be able to see through their crap sooner.
Yeah. Where, like, Kelsey, like, immediately, like, she was saying stuff right off the cuff where I was like, oh, man, she's not hiding anything at all. I was just like, wear something. She's like, that doesn't match. You can't go out looking like that. But, oh, okay, well. Fair enough.
I don't think I'd want to. I don't think there's any scenario where I'd want to. What about you, Silas?
I feel like you get so rich so fast.
No, I'm the opposite. I don't think so.
You don't think you're getting rich fast?
Well, no. Is
this the multi-level marketing?
You'd probably get rich fast.
Get rich quick?
But I don't think I would want to know what other people are thinking. You know? Just like you said. Yeah. You got your closest people. You can read their mind.
Yeah, when they're trashing in your head. Yeah.
What am I thinking right now, Silas?
You're thinking of Hunter. You're thinking of spoons.
Yeah, he's probably thinking of metal spoons. Just,
18 spoons just taped on Hunter.
No, that's what you're thinking about. How many ways I could submit you guys in the octagon?
I mean, so many. I'm probably dead right now. Wait till you see Wednesday.
Have you ever been in the octagon?
Me?
Brody?
No.
No?
Oh?
No.
Tomorrow's Foundation Nation video is Trevor and I VR boxing. So we'll see if you're
I saw a little sneak peek of that.
We'll see if you're still talking after my boxing debut happens.
Here's a good question for you guys. We had this discussion a little bit today. I want to get your guys' take. Where, if tier list of like popularity, okay? Tier list of like popularity, not like diehard fans, more like, hey, do you know this person?
Okay.
Is Cristiano Ronaldo and Tom Brady in the same tier list?
No.
Are they in the same tier?
No. Cristiano Ronaldo is way more famous. Not even close.
That's surprising.
Well,
I didn't think you would say that.
Hear me out, though. Hear me out. He is way more famous, Oz. I'm not saying who's more famous, though, Hunter. I said in the same tier. So you got to think who, like, there has to be multiple people in a tier. So if Tom Brady's not in that tier, how many people are in that tier with Christian? You can't just have, like, three people in a tier.
Are you dropping
Tom Brady out of that top? Because obviously Cristiano's in the top.
Cristiano Ronaldo, Lionel Messi. I think LeBron James.
What about like Michael?
And
Jordan?
I think Steph Curry.
Where does Michael Jordan fall?
I'm thinking current athletes.
Oh, okay.
Like here we go. Historic.
I think that tennis player is up there.
Federer.
Yeah.
Or Nadal. Well, the thing is, I don't think American football, is big in other countries. Whereas basketball, soccer,
they have
golf, tennis.
That's the thing, they have been doing a lot of marketing though. Like they have these European games now where they're going over and playing games.
I don't.
You're dropping him out.
I don't think he's on the same tier. I think he's the next tier down.
What about Tiger Woods?
No, he's in it.
Tiger Woods would be in the same tier name recognition wise.
As Tom Brady?
No, as Ronaldo.
He's top tier.
He's a top tier.
What about Michael Phelps?
Oh, no, that's an interesting one because you don't know how other countries cover the Olympics. Cuz like each country has a different broadcast. We saw the heck out of Michael Phelps.
Well, I mean, you cover the people that win. What the heck?
Name a English swimmer.
Bro, Michael Phelps is not just an English swimmer. He's the best swimmer of all time.
Name a Chinese gymnast.
Best Chinese gymnast of all time? Does that even exist?
It's got to.
Oh, for sure.
I think the U.S. women's crushed almost every year. It's us and the Russians.
Okay, name a Russian gymnast. We don't. Your country doesn't cover people outside of your country. Is what I'm saying.
No, you make a good point. You make a good point. However, I do think
Usain Bolt is your best argument.
Usain Bolt's a good one.
Because like we all know Usain Bolt's name, and Michael Phelps did something very similar to Usain Bolt, where he just dominated the Olympics. So like it just I don't know. It's hard to know. It's hard to know how other countries covered it.
I feel like Usain Bolt's not as relevant.
You're also picking like gymnastics, which is, they do have like multiple events. So like, that's not a good example. What about figure skating? I bet I couldn't name them, but I bet if you listed some figure skaters from other, list some figure skaters, gold medalist figure skaters, not from like these past Olympics, because I haven't been paying attention, but do like early 2000, 2010 figure skaters.
All right, best figure gold skater, medalist. Early 2000s. I got this.
You going women, not men.
I don't know.
Go women, not men. I don't know any men figure skaters. What the heck?
Okay.
I bet I'll recognize some of these names.
List of Olympic medalists in figure skating by age. Okay, we'll try here.
What year are they winning?
I can see what year they won. So I'll just pick
some. Like do mid 2000s to like 2015.
And you want other countries?
Yeah, not Americans.
Gosh. Okay, here's lady singles. Yulia Lipton. Oh gosh, Hunter, why would you pick that name?
Liptonskine?
Lipnenskaya. Yulia Liptonskaya won gold in 2014 in Sochi. At 15 years old.
Russian?
Yep.
Or Ukraine?
Russian.
Russian?
Might
be able to pick her out of a lineup.
Caitlin Osmond.
Canadian.
Yeah.
Yep.
2014 Sochi as well. Won silver there.
Yep. Yep.
Yuna Kim.
Chinese?
South Korean. 2010 Vancouver, gold.
No.
Barbara Ann Scott.
No, I don't know that person.
Yeah, she was from 1948. I was throwing you one.
I don't know that person.
I was just testing you. I was just seeing. Let's see here. I'll throw you one more.
Give me one more. Give me like a 2012.
2010?
Or 16 or something. 14.
How's 2010?
Sure. I was in college. I was paying attention to the Olympics.
Joni Roquette.
Nope, never heard of her.
All right. There you go.
I got the Dark Horse Canadian.
You got one, but you also just said Canadian. Like Osmond, I mean... There's very few countries that name could have been from.
Does she have black hair?
I didn't see pictures. I was looking at a Wikipedia list.
I'm looking her up right now. What was her first name?
Already forgot.
I mean, you only got four options.
Okay, I can just Google Osmond gold medalist.
What do you mean four options?
Caitlin. She does have dark hair.
Boom. Wore really red lipstick.
Well, now you're just looking at her.
No, I haven't pulled up the phone. I put down the wrong first name.
All right, I can look her up again. Did she wear really red lipstick?
I'm looking at it right now. She's got very red lips.
I mean, she looks like a typical figure skater.
I think she's just very pale.
That's fair. Okay, you know what? Well, I'm still not giving it to you. I'll give you that you knew her, but overall, that was a fail.
What was the point of this?
He was trying to prove that, like, you know other countries when they win. And I don't think he successfully did that.
I think a lot of people know who Michael Phelps is.
I do, but I don't think he. I don't think he's on Cristiano Ronaldo tier.
No.
I mean, he was on a Wheaties box.
And?
You were on a Skittles thing. Or Gatorade.
No, they...
They made that just for him.
No, they made those for me, personally. They never sold those. What do we think about Conor McGregor? That's a good one. Or Floyd Mayweather.
Mm.
Or like Canelo. Like, boxing, I think...
That's a tough one. Because, again, it's tough to know outside of a country. It's like what you were saying. When you're in a world, it seems massive. But then as soon as you go outside that world, who knows?
I think you have to do stuff, too, where, like, Ronaldo, for example, does a lot of stuff outside of just soccer.
Well, he also plays the world sport. Like, people watch the World Cup when it rolls around. And, like, every country plays soccer. That's the key. Not every country plays American football.
Yeah,
that's why I don't think Tom Brady's on that tier.
Well, you don't hear me bringing up any cricket players. Don't get me started there.
There could be a cricket. There is a good chance that there is a cricket player more famous than Tom Brady. There's a very solid chance.
Oh, I wouldn't say very solid. I would say definite.
What the heck? That's what I'm saying. We're just in America, so we don't know, but everyone else would. Like, most famous cricket player. I bet there might be a rugby player more famous than Tom Brady.
But the thing is, though, here's the thing, though, Hunter. You say this all. I think, Silas, do we have any international viewers right now? Can you tell me if anyone's watching outside of North America?
I mean, I'm
Will you I'm agree? Sure. Will you agree that
we cricket? Mean, I'm sure.
I'm sure there are.
Do you agree cricket's...
That's not a good bet. It's 6:43 right now on the West Coast.
Ryan from New Zealand's here.
Okay. New Zealand. That's a good one. I bet they watch American movies and TV.
Probably.
Right?
Yeah, like, but we also do New Zealand.
Name a New Zealand show, Silas. You back yourself in a corner.
Netflix,
what?
Man.
What did you just say, Silas?
Name a New Zealand
show. There's so many shows on Netflix.
Name a
single
show
that they produce it in one language and then they do the American or English. What?
That's like Asian or European shows.
Yeah, they probably have a New Zealand show like that.
Okay.
No.
Would you say that cricket is worldwide more popular than football?
I think we looked this up and I think the answer was no.
Well, then
I think we looked this up.
Did we? How do you even...
Oh, wait. Are you talking about American football?
American football.
American football. Or football?
American football. Not soccer.
Oh, yeah. There's way more people are paying attention to cricket than American football.
Do you know who Shahid Afridi is?
Well, yes, because I've met that guy.
Dang it. Okay. Do you know who Sachin Tendulkar is?
I'm not going to know anyone else other than that guy, because that guy's the most famous cricket player.
Apparently, Sachin Tendulkar is more famous than Afridi.
Oh.
Is Afridi retired, though? The guy I met was retired.
They're both retired.
But he was like the most famous. Well, how old is he, though? Is he like a Michael Jordan and I met the LeBron James kind of guy?
I don't know. I don't know who any of these people are. That's my whole point. That's my whole entire point. Is these guys have to be bigger than Tom Brady, and I have no idea who they are. So that's why Tom Brady can't be on the Cristiano Ronaldo tier.
Tom Brady is married to Gazelle. We got to take that into consideration.
That does not, no. You don't have to take that into consideration.
We do, because she has a reach as well. So, like, she pulls in people, and people are like, oh, you're just
Gazelle. We can just search
Gazelle's
most famous worldwide athletes.
Well, what are they going to go off of that? Social media? Because that's not a fair representation.
Top 10 most famous athletes in the world.
What is the
study? It doesn't say, but I trust this list with my life. Number one, Cristiano Ronaldo. Number two, Lionel Messi. Number three, LeBron James.
I hate how you say his name.
So far, so good. Number four, Neymar.
I hate how you say
so far, so good. Number five, Federer. Number six, Conor McGregor.
Say his name.
How do you say Federer?
Federer.
You put the R on the end? Hate that.
There's no
Number six, Conor McGregor. Number seven, Virat Kohli. That's a cricket. That's a cricket player. See, cricket player.
All right.
Number eight, Nadal.
Okay.
Number nine, John Cena.
No, wrestling is massive. This is what I'm saying. Like the American TV and stuff.
And
like,
then, it's got to be fake.
Number 10, Tiger Woods. I trust this list. No, that seems like a legit list.
You have to remember, a lot of countries, like their like national TV and stuff sucks. And they'll tell you that. I'm not just saying that as an American. They'll tell you that. Like, they love watching American TV. So, like, it doesn't shock me that people are watching American wrestling all over the world.
So there you have it. There's the top 10.
T-Dub, baby. I think Tiger Woods made top 10 mainly before, maybe because of the scandal. So
this is not, from 2021.
I'm saying, like, I think the scandal really helped, like,
probably pushed him.
His popularity in the sense of, like, people knowing who he was.
Okay, this is a top 20 from Business Insider. Do you think Tom Brady's in the top 20?
No. Isn't Business Insider the people that are trying to get Dave Portnoy canceled?
They are. Tom Brady's not in the top 20. Makes sense.
Boom. I was right.
They do have Kevin Durant up there.
Did Silas just say he was right?
Yeah. What? When did you bet that?
I said no.
Yeah.
No.
When did you put your...
Did no one hear that?
No. Oh, they have Gareth Bale in there. So. Gotta agree with that.
Yeah.
Gareth Bale's massive.
He's my doppelganger from like 10 years ago, maybe.
I can see it. Okay.
I had hair.
So basically, all that to say, Tom Brady is not on the same tier as Cristiano Ronaldo.
At what point does the Bogey Bros become more famous than Tom Brady?
Never, ever.
All right.
Because Tom Brady's a goat.
Never, hey, never say never.
You can never be more famous than a goat. Because you need to be bigger than a sport.
I have seen on the Patreon that you and Trevor are grinding.
Yes.
Do you guys have a tournament circled on the Pro Tour that you're trying to qualify for?
No, we do not. We might do a little Monday qualifying at USDGC. I'm dealing with a stress fracture in my right ankle right now, so all disc golf kind of come to a halt. Everything active's kind of come to a halt. I can barely walk without pain. So we're working through that right now.
We need to get Silas on my bag is what we need to get.
That is true. I feel like every tournament you post. Did you find a caddy for Portland?
I need to pick someone today.
I saw your post.
What's the closest tournament here?
Probably Idlewild.
Idlewild.
How far?
Or the Tour Championship. The Tour Championship's 4 hours away. USDGC is also 4 hours away.
All right, Brody. I'll see you there.
If I make it in the Tour Championship, Silas, you can caddy. You can caddy.
All right, careful, dude. So,
somebody clip that.
He'll throw you off the bag and make you go look for his thrasher for a few hours, man.
Hey, I'm throwing a lot of thrashers in Portland. You guys would love it.
Oh,
a lot of rollers, or is it because of the elevation?
The Janus thrasher's coming in play. No, a lot of rollers.
All right, Silas, let's wrap up the show. What topics do we have coming from the chat? Have you not been watching the chat, Silas?
Oh, I have. Brody, would you rather play a round of disc golf with Gordon Ramsay or Simon Cowell?
Gordon Ramsay or Simon Cowell?
Probably. The real answer is neither, but if I had to pick one, it'd probably be Gordon.
I think I'm going Gordon, too.
Playing disc golf with like random people like that, I don't think is actually that enjoyable. The reason why playing golf with people is fun is because you're like in a cart together, so you have like a lot of talking, and you're like disc golf, like you're walking separate. Like they're gonna be way, I don't think it'd be as enjoyable as you think.
Right. Also, I feel like Gordon would be nicer than Simon. I think Gordon's only
Simon's actually very nice in person.
I think they both are.
They're probably. I was gonna say
because I've seen Gordon Ramsay's TikToks, and he's very nice. He's very funny.
I've never met Gordon in person, but I did something with Simon, and he was extremely nice.
I did see where Gordon Ramsay was doing like a kids cooking show, and it was absolutely hilarious. Because like he clearly, I love that. He had the right to just
oh,
like,
he had to be nice. Still,
no.
What do they?
He was laying into these
what
kids.
What do they call that?
I don't know what it
they
was.
They call it MasterChef Juniors, I think, or something.
Maybe. It was something. It was so funny. This kid was like, this kid burned his steak, and Gordon Ramsay was just laying into him over it. And it was hilarious.
MasterChef Junior.
MasterChef Junior. Very funny.
Yeah.
Eight seasons.
Jeez.
Bloody raw!
Should headphones be allowed on the Pro Tour?
No.
No.
Okay.
I think we've talked about that before. I feel like we have.
Oh, do you think there could be a chance of having sponsorships for individual slots in your bag?
Isn't that what Drew Gibson's kind of trying?
Someone said, like, all your mids are Innova, all your disenchantments are Discraft.
That's what Drew Gibson was trying. I don't think so.
Why not?
I think down the road, yeah.
Yeah?
Well, I don't know about that, Silas, where it's like, all my mids are this, all my blah, blah, blah. But I think there could be, I think sponsorships could change to where you could have a sponsorship where it's like, you know, I'm going to have this number of discs in my bag, or I'm going to, or you could be like sponsored by like a company for their putter. I could see that.
Well, that's what
Gateway... I don't see you being like, I don't see you having like four different sponsorships with four different companies.
Yeah. That's where I think it'd be interesting. Cause then like a company could get upset because you go on like the golf course swing and you're throwing like all drivers and not
you
touching
don't
your
throw
mids.
Any of their discs.
And then they're like, why are we paying?
Just, I think it would just cost more for drivers.
No, yeah. I think it would have, no, cause then you go to a wooded course and you don't throw any of your drivers. I think it would have to be like I have a full bag sponsorship, excluding my putter with Discraft, and then Innova pays me to throw their putter, or putt with their putter.
I know
something like that.
When we were in St. Louis, we were talking to Gateway, and they said that they were one of their contract options for players was like a 75%. Sponsorship where 75% of their bag or something like that had to be Gateway and the rest, the other 25% could be open bag because they like, they knew that there were just some discs they just didn't have in their lineup. And so players, they said that it was like a, you made less money to do 75% versus 100% sponsorship, but that was like an option they were offering apparently, which I thought was interesting.
Nice. All right, we got one, and they said artificial obstacles are what course designers should move toward. Not only arguments against our aesthetic, and something about USDGC. Anyway, artificial obstacles are what course designers should move towards. What do you think?
I mean, I hate it. I just don't like how it looks. Like, I think
just
you can...
A, like, so I think some people are not going to like that there's going to be a lot of rollers on the Glendevere course. And I think if you are trying... If you're the course designer and you're trying to limit that, I think what you could do... is you could just literally plant like rows of bushes, right? You can like, this is where it's like the difference between making a course that's temporary and it's okay, we're just making this course, we're playing this one event and then like, we might come back, we might not, versus someone like, no, we are building this course, we're making this course, we want to be a long lasting tour stop. Then you can plant bushes to prohibit rollers on that hole. You can plant a tree in a certain spot so that, you know, a couple years from now, that one line that was there isn't there anymore. You know, there. I think that there's stuff like that you can do. You can let grass grow out. That's another thing. If you don't want rollers to happen, literally from the tee pad to wherever most rollers land, just don't cut the grass. Have the grass be 3 feet long. And just have like a, you know, cut a little path on the side or something for us to walk on. No one's throwing a roller there anymore.
So there's definitely things like that that you can do. Now, in my opinion, all that still is like artificial. Like you are manipulating things artificially in the
but
sense.
But it looks natural.
Where like that tree wasn't, yeah, that tree wasn't naturally there. Or like, heck, if you don't like the bush idea, just cut, like dig out a ditch and put water in it and then like have a little water feature right there. No one's going to throw rollers anymore. Again, in my opinion, those aren't artificial because you are like a man is coming in. When I say man, I mean like man-made is coming in and affecting the course. So,
what do you think about the mozzarella sticks? Is that would that?
I don't think I don't think we need stuff like that.
Well, I think yeah, because I think like I've talked about this at USDGC before, where it's the look, it's the aesthetic to me. Of like, if the artificial stuff that's getting added to the course looks like it belongs with whatever landscape and stuff, whether it be like Brody's talking of like a row of bushes or a tree, or whether it be like the right type of fencing for OB at whatever landscape it lines up with, whatever it may be, if it looks like it belongs and it looks natural, send it. But if we're just like throwing up random poles or we're putting up two poles with like a string for a Mando or like that, then we might as well get the spinning pinwheel in the clown's mouth. Like there's a fine line between looking professional and starting to look like a joke. And it's an easy, like, I think that you just do it where it matches the course aesthetic and you can get away with stuff like that. And then I have no problem with it. But when it like starts to look gimmicky and look cheap and look like someone walked up to the course with like 3 days till the tournament and was like, oh, how do we add this? And then just went to the local, you know, hardware store and found the first thing they could think of to fix it. That's when I'm just like, I don't like that.
Yeah, I get that. Next one comes from Brian. He said, what are you guys' thoughts on player recaps on Instagram, like social posts and stuff? Do you think that's cheesy? Because he's saying not a lot of other athletes do that. What do you think?
A lot of golfers do it.
I think that what makes it cheesy right now is it's like all the exact same format of, oh, didn't go my way out there on the course. My Star Destroyer was flying great for me today, though. Saved me a bunch of strokes here. Be sure to check them out. Thanks again to my sponsors,
well,
blah, blah,
cheesy.
Blah.
It's cheesy because they're doing it as branded posts.
That's
so,
what I'm saying.
Like that's what makes where it cheesy. Cheesy is they're having... Yeah.
If it was like a genuine breakdown, then, and like it was like a written thing of you're actually adding value to my feed versus just telling me how great your A4 flew for you out there, then it gets less cheesy and more like, oh, this is something I'm actually following you for.
So it's just not genuine.
Yeah. If you don't like them because of that, that makes a lot of sense. I think people are going to even if it weren't required for people, like if there wasn't like a, hey, after every tournament, you need to shout us out and you need a blah, blah, blah. If there wasn't a requirement for that, I still think players would do it because, again, like the media is only covering a handful of people. Yeah. So it's unlike a sporting event where you have two teams play, like both teams after the game are going to get covered, right? So in disc golf and in golf and in tennis and in pretty much every sport, well, tennis is one head-to-head, but any sport where it's like a tournament format where it's a bunch of people playing and some, you know, some do well, some don't, there's going to be a lot of people that just get no media at all. So if you want to kind of get your side of the story out there, like let people know, you know, a little insight, but I'm with you, Hunter. I think it should, if you are going to do it, you know, for me, like I don't think I ever really post anything on my actual feed on Instagram, but I normally post some stuff on my story, my Twitter. And a lot of times it is based off of like statistics and stuff that didn't really go that well. Right. So like last tournament, I threw the disc really, really well, putted really poorly. So that was my way of kind of saying like, hey, you didn't see me on coverage. You probably didn't really know what was going on in the tournament, but this is kind of how my tournament went. Threw the disc great, putted terrible.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
I just think sure. I think the current format of how most players are doing it is what's getting like, all right, this is stupid.
Yeah.
Cook better.
That. Yeah.
All
right, let's get one more, Silas. Make it a good one to wrap it up. Ooh. Wrap up the show.
All right. Brad asks, how do you feel about the same mold discs, but different runs feel so different? And could this ever change?
Say it one more time.
So he's
what's the question?
He's basically like asking, could we ever see discs more consistent, molds more consistent across the board instead of them varying like run to run in stability?
Could we ever see it? Yeah, for sure. I think that
the plastic.
Go for it.
Well, I was just going to say the plastic has a lot to do with it as well.
Well, yeah, I think it's the plastic, the temperature, the humidity of the room. There's a lot that factors into what changes the disc and like from run to run. So I think that like as more money comes into the sport and well, the first thing is the manufacturers have to see it as a problem. I don't know if they do or not, but like if they don't see it as a problem worth fixing, then they're never going to invest money to fix it. But if it became a thing where like people are like, I refuse to buy the rock because it's so inconsistent. Every rock I buy flies different, and it became like an ongoing issue, then it could be something that would be fixed, but you'd have to fix it. Like you'd have to just be in full control of everything that could possibly change how the disc turned out essentially. And you'd also have to make it, which this is with some companies, but other companies aren't. It had to be like a fully automated process to where there's no room of like human error of like someone pulling it off the press, you know, earlier one time versus the next time, or when this person's running the machine, they turn out this way or whatever it may be. It had to be fully automated, and then you'd have to have full control over literally every aspect of what could change it. So like, is it possible? Absolutely. Will we ever see it? I don't know. I just don't know if it'll ever be a big enough problem for them to invest in the infrastructure needed.
I think the only reason it would happen is if like some company decided like that they were going to make that their staple.
Yeah, like that's what they right? did. That's what they're known for.
And yeah, like, they invested a crap ton into doing that. And then like that became something that everyone was like, well, this is what we're expecting.
Yeah.
Kind of. And it forced everyone to kind of get to that.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's a good way to end up the show. So. Be sure to
sorry,
tune in.
Sorry, I'm still late tonight.
No, I think it went well. It's only 10 o'clock here.
I think next week won't be as bad because we're just playing one course, so like nice. I won't have to do like double rounds and stuff.
Yeah. Be sure to tune into the Portland Open this upcoming weekend. Be sure to check out the video that just dropped today over on our main channel, Foundation Disc Golf. We played with understable discs only. It's a good, fun time. Be sure to check that out. And, yeah, if you haven't subscribed yet, be sure to do so. Tons of podcasts dropping almost every day at this point. Actually, this week it might end up being every day. No, it is every day. It is every day, every week. Because we have Griplock Monday, Debate Night Tuesday, Bogey Bro Banter Wednesday, Trevor Staub Show Thursday, Plastic Addict, and In the Bag Friday. I mean, what more could you possibly want? And Heiser Club Mailbag to Patreon. Good night. We got content coming out the wazoo. And you're missing it if you're not subscribed.
So much content.
So be sure to subscribe and also check us out on all the other social platforms. And if you're listening to us on audio, leave us a review. We'd really appreciate it. Other than that, we'll talk to you again next Tuesday. Check the mic.